Insight with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome, Insight, this chilly Wednesday night. If there's one thing that I'd like for you to change, it's that 22 degrees part of it, Neil.
That is automated. We can't change that. The only way you can change that is move.
Well,
according to my actual computer screen, it's 21.6.
Oh, wow.
So it's colder than 22.
You aren't helping things. Now.
Well, I'm pretty sure the difference is kind of imperceptible. That's a big word.
Oh, that is big.
Yeah. So, word of the day on my calendar.
We are blessed to have in studio some true friends, not only friends of Fort Recovery, but friends of the St. Joe Church. And we have in studio right now Mr. Gary Steinbrenner.
Hello, Jack. How are you?
Very good. And Mr. Mel Bertke.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Good. And I think that Ryan's going to join us here in a few, I think.
Yeah, Ryan Steinbrenner will be here when he's picking up his girl from the dance class and taking her home. And he'll be here probably after we take our break. When we get back from our break, he'll probably be here.
Very good. Well, it just seems like there's always something going on out at the, St. Joe Church and stuff. I think, though it's not church connected, I think the addition of Wendell Barbecue out there is...
Oh, it's great. It's great.
It's great. You guys will... You have to have a traffic light.
I think we're going to need is valet parking.
Yeah, parking garage.
Parking garage. That's
Adam Beach always said we should have one here in Fort Recovery. Now it's going to be in St. Joe.
It'd be a good investment for you, Spence.
Yes, it would.
So, how many stories you thinking? Three, four?
Well, it depends on what our footprint is. If we can get big enough footprint, we'll only need two stories.
Yeah,
but we might need three.
We're pretty green friendly out there, so we don't want too big about the footprint.
Yep. So we'll might be six then.
Yeah.
And parking will only be $5 or $6.
That's not bad.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
As long as it goes to the church, I can handle it.
So it'll be $20. Yeah. 14 will go to the church.
So I tell you what, we're going to talk about some of the things going on at St. Joe Church and what the friends of the St. Joe Church have going on. But before we do that, I just have a point to bring up.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Did you know that the average cumulus cloud, okay, Mel, you probably already knew this.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The average cumulus cloud weighs more than 70 T-Rex dinosaurs.
That's unbelievable.
Really? I would have guessed more like 50 T-Rex dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Not that I have any idea what a T-Rex dinosaur weighs. Yeah.
I got one question.
Yeah.
Is that before or after they start storing all the information in it?
Oh, that's the different cloud.
That's a different cloud?
Yeah, that's a different cloud.
Oh, okay.
This is a different cloud. So can
I imagine it weighs a lot more than
that. Yeah.
How did they figure out either of those two things? Yeah?
I have no idea.
How do you know what a cloud weighs?
I have no idea.
Well,
I have no
idea. Probably take a pretty big scale, and how do you get it to sit right there and without moving?
and then to know what the average T-Rex dinosaur weighs.
Well, if they get the bones and all that stuff, they can make a reasonable guess.
Yeah.
And that's why I want my wife to keep drinking Snapples. Because on the inside,
oh, it's a Snapple commercial.
Yeah.
So on the cap, that's where you learned that.
Oh, really?
Well, I would encourage anybody that drinks Snapple to save the caps and send them to Jack, or bring them up here, and we'll give them to him every week.
There you go.
And pretty soon he'll be the smartest man around.
What?
pretty soon. You might even pass your brother Bill as being the smartest guy.
Oh, whoa. That'd
you,
be big.
You just lowered the bar tremendously.
Hey, if you don't think he's the smartest guy around, just ask him. He'll tell you.
So, I tell you what, we're going to take a little break, and then I'm going to come back and tell you one other fact that I learned on the bottom of a Snapple cap right after this.
Be sure to stop in to Brick Street Tavern every Friday night for a Queen of Hearts drawing at 10 o'clock. You could win thousands of dollars if your name is drawn and you pick the Queen of Hearts. The pot just keeps getting bigger every week that we have no winner. Ask your server for tickets when you stop in for lunch. You have to be there to win the full amount, but even if you can't get there for the drawing on Friday night, you can still get 40% of the pot. So be sure to get your tickets for Brick Street Tavern's Queen of Hearts drawing and be ready to win some big bucks. You can stop by Brick Street anytime to buy your tickets. The drawing will be every Friday night at 10 o'clock after the basketball games.
Cooper Farms Feed and Animal Division in Fort Recovery, Ohio is seeking a second shift feed delivery driver, which requires a Class A CDL. My name is Bob Stogler, and I have been at Cooper Farms for 33 years, which has enabled me to develop great friendships along the way and great opportunities. Come join the Cooper team today. Apply online at cooperfarms.com.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. For a tractor with big chore versatility and power, ask us at K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery about the 140 to 165 horsepower T7 series tractors from New Holland. They're the all-around workhorse you need for loading, haymaking, mixing feed, and spreading manure. They offer choice of transmissions and unmatched versatility to power implements on front or back. Plus, you work your best in the quiet comfort of a Horizon cab. See us at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today.
Make your plans now to attend the 17th annual NRA banquet at the Fort Recovery American Legion on Saturday, February 17th, sponsored by the Friends of the NRA. Social hour starts at 5 and the dinner will start at 7. Tickets are only $30 each or $60 a couple, and there will only be 400 tickets available. Events for the evening include a live auction, a silent auction, several special drawings including some limited edition firearms, art prints, knives, and many other items created specifically for the Friends of the NRA. For tickets, you can call Steve Hart at 419-852-8674, Bob Hall at 419-375-4704, or Homan's Gun Shop at 419-375-2515, or you can stop into Homan's Gun Shop at 2920 State Route 119 between Fort Recovery and St. Henry. Get your group together and get your tickets now before they're gone for the 17th annual NRA banquet on Saturday, February 17th.
Hi, I am Preston Hoyne, junior FFA member at Fort Recovery High School, and our 2018 FFA week is here. Our activities will be held from February 20th to February 23rd. On Tuesday the 20th, we'll be holding our tractor drive-in and green hand initiation. On Wednesday, we'll be holding our community breakfast. The food will be served from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock a.m. We'll also be participating in Food for America. On Thursday, we'll be holding our annual petting zoo, open to the public from 9 o'clock to 2:30. On Friday, we'll be holding our truck drive-in and Ag Olympics. FFA week from February 20th to February 23rd.
We're back here on Insight with Jack Stogler, and I have something real quick that I want to throw in here before we get to the St. Joe information. We posted on Facebook a very nice letter from the administration at the Fort Recovery Schools, and we want to invite everybody to visit the Fort Recovery radio page and read it in its entirety. To kind of sum it up, there's one statement in there that pretty much says everything, but we encourage you to read it all. That statement is, it is also our intention to work with the MAC to try to get Fort Recovery Radio back on the air sooner rather than later. So that's the gist of the letter, and we really encourage everybody to take time to go to our Facebook page, and I understand that the administration has also posted it on I believe Facebook and probably Twitter. Again, we encourage you to read that whole letter, and that's kind of all we're going to say about that for right now. So if you want to read that and see what everything that was said, please go to that. Now we'll go to Jack with the insight.
And I think one other point to make about that is just their support for, you know, what you know, you and the station does, and the importance to the community and the kids, and so I think it was very well written, and
yes,
we thank them for it.
So yes, thank them very much for it. It's a great thing that they're going to try to do here for us.
Yeah, so. We are also joined in studio, besides Mel and Gary, we are joined now by Mr. Ryan Steinbrenner.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Ryan. So, I tell you what, you guys are here to represent the Friends of St. Joe Church. So, let's start with this organization. When did it start? Why? What was the purpose?
It started in December of 2015. And the purpose was, at that time, they were doing the One Faith, One Hope, One Love campaign for the Archdiocese, if you remember that. And each parish had a set amount of money that they had to raise, or a target to raise for that. And that all went to the Archdiocese for different funds and so forth. And at the same time, we were looking at redoing our church windows. And we realized that, you know, we need money for the CMA, the Catholic thing, and One Faith, One Hope, One Love, I should say, not CMA. And we also need to look at our own needs at home and take care of those. So, me being parish manager, I was getting a lot of questions about, you know, where's this money going, and if we, you know, where are we going to get the money for the windows, and, you know, how are we being assessed on our funds and this sort of thing. So I, with the help of Amy Leonard, got some answers, and I got thinking about how we could use funds and not funnel them through the Archdiocese, basically.
Yep.
And so I thought, you know, one day I told my wife, said, I think I'm going to look into starting a nonprofit. And talked to 10 or 12 different individuals in the parish that are pretty active in the parish, and they all thought it was a great idea. And then I went to a man that I have a lot of respect for, a businessman in Fort Recovery, Cy Lefevre.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I ran it by him, and he thought it was a great idea. And he said, you don't need to start a nonprofit. And I've been involved with some groups that have started nonprofits. It's not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And he said, you can run through the Fort Recovery Community Foundation. And I said, well, then that's a no-brainer, because we don't touch the money. They take care of everything, and they invest it and so forth. So I called the group of 10, or I guess I could call them disciples or apostles. There's about 12 of us. I don't know what you want to call us.
I like it.
You guys didn't have dinner together.
We're just former maggots is what we are. Yep. And if you're old enough, we were studs. So the leaders of the community.
Yeah.
So I called them together, and we had a meeting at Sandra Hall, and everybody was on board. And I had a contract there from the Fort Recovery Community Foundation. And we moved forward. That same night, we elected three trustees or directors. Chad Poller was our first chairman. And then Mel was our second one. And now we have Joe Puckcutter. And I had... So we had the thing rolling, basically. And we decided to write a letter to get it out before the end of the year and see if people wanted to make tax-deductible donations. So I wrote a letter. We wrote a letter, and we got that out. And some money started coming in. We start signing contracts for the windows to get done. And it's just been an amazing ride since then. As a matter of fact, today, the last two windows are being reinstalled, and we'll complete the window project for the church.
No kidding.
Yes.
And like, you're talking stained glass windows.
Yes, there's 26 windows overall, but there's 8 large stained glass windows, and I imagine they're about 5 feet wide and 12 feet tall,
yeah,
arch top. And they depict, each scene is a depiction of the life of Jesus. And those windows were installed in 1920. Wow. And basically, no major maintenance has been done on them since then. And so we were looking at those windows individually were $22,400 for putting on exterior frames and stain or storm glass, and then completely disassembling the stained glass, cleaning them up, putting them back together, re-letting them and everything, and replacing glass where necessary. So, you know, that's a, take that times eight, that's a pretty good chunk of money. We still had 18 out of the windows, which five of them were smaller stained glass windows. Yeah. So all in all, the project was about a $230,000 project we were looking at. So I'm telling you today, they're putting the last two in, and we'll be making the payment, and we're moving forward with other projects. So
How cool is that? It's just been
fantastic. We had, originally those eight windows were sponsored by individual families in the parish, you know, in memory
and so we took
that approach and got the word out. If that you wanted to sponsor a window, you could do that, and we had eight families step forward and take care of those windows, and the other five stained glass windows, families took care of those. So, and it was, and we did some fundraising. You know, we had to. We have our gun raffle ticket again this year. It's been a big success, and we kind of took over the festival and took some of those care of those funds, and we had an auction, and we have our cornhole tournament Friday night before the homecoming festival in September. So it's been good, you know, and we've got the original 10 or 12 there. We lost one. She's still involved, but she didn't come to the meeting.
Yeah.
She said there's too many men there. I don't understand that.
I totally get it.
But no, Carol Deuce was a big part of this, and we appreciate her coming to the meetings, and her husband. They do a great lot of service for the church, her and Ed. We really appreciate them. It's just been fantastic, and we write a letter about every 6 months to all the parishioners of St. Joe and all the donors, let them know what's going on, and we'll be sending one out here next week again.
Well, cool. So you talked about a couple of things. One is just the names that you had mentioned, you know, and from a Berkey to Steinbrenner and Potcutter. You know, my family was a member of that parish back in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And the names that you'd hear a lot of were the Steinbrenners and the Potcutters and the Berkeys. And it's just neat how that new parish can sustain from generation to generation. And it's just really cool that your dad and your grandpa and stuff kind of all helped get it going, you know?
Yeah, my dad, you know, he did a lot of service for the church, a lot of work up there. And I can remember being there and watching him work hard, and the men of St. Joe, Doc Kalp. Mel's dad and, you know, all those guys, they all chipped in. Roger Lochtefeld, I don't want to name, can't name them all, but they just always were there for the church. And that impressed me so much. And I was young enough to start mowing grass. I mowed grass there for years. And I remember Father Cletus Ben. He was probably the first priest I can remember.
Yep.
Good guy. And, I mean, the church has always been a big part of my life. I just, I live for that. I really do.
One thing I really like about rural parishes, and that's a great example, is when something needs done, you've got all these guys that are either farmers or just know how to do stuff, and they can just go do it. Where if you're in a Dayton parish, how many of those people actually know how to do anything? So they have to pay money. And in Dayton, that's going to be hundreds of dollars just to do something that could, that a couple of people can go do in a couple of hours because they know what they're doing. And it's great to have people like that will do it, first of all, and that know how to do it.
Even though I'm not sure that we see a whole lot of them up at the steeple thing, you know, changing, you know, like, you know, changing the tiles and stuff up there. That takes a, you know, certain breed up there. That
That is not one that we that even Doc Kalp and Carl Steinbrenner, when they were in their 20s, would be wanting to do.
So I tell you what. So, you know, something that I didn't know, and Mel was touching base on, was that the St. Joe Parish is the second oldest parish in the area, right?
Yeah, that's right. Maria Stein was the first by just a couple years, but still, I think it was 1839 that St. Joe was established. Of course, there was no church there at the time. The priest said mass and everything in a home that was around. So it took a little time to get things put together, but it was pretty much wilderness at that time.
Wow! Yeah,
amazing.
And I've heard a lot of this. The Land of the Cross Tip Churches tour is really neat. Now, it all started at Minster and came this way, Maria Stein, and then St. Joe. But in Mercer County, in our area, it was St. John over at Maria Stein, and then St. Joe here.
Yeah.
And then they all kind of, you know, there's about 12, 15 of them in the southern Mercer County, and I guess maybe a little bit of northern Dark and Auglaize, where they're all just, you know, it's a pretty neat thing.
I think St. Anthony was the first one to break away and actually build a church in St. Anthony. And then Wendelene, St. Peter, and finally Fort Recovery.
Yeah, so really.
At one time, I read the book to catch up on things, but there was about 300 families that were involved in St. Joe at one point in time.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty good-sized parish.
Well, yeah, because that was all farm, and you know, a few houses in what was the actual name of the town, Violet, or was that a different one? Anyway, but the name of the
Victoria one.
Victoria. Violet is somewhere else. But in Victoria, there might have been just a few houses, wouldn't be very many. Everybody is spread out, 80-acre farms, 380-acre farms covers a huge amount
of land. So, Gary, you had said right now, there are how many families in the parish?
I believe there's, 107 households. That was the last count I got when we started this. There was 107 households. Okay. So it's pretty small parish for the smallest parish of the cluster that we're clustered with. Yeah.
So when you think about 107 families raising $240,000 to fix these windows, I mean, that is incredible. It really is.
It is, but it wasn't just the 107 families. You know, it was, like you said, your family or someone, some of them, you know, don't have much family here anymore.
Yeah.
But their roots are deep, and they generations back sponsored that window.
Yeah.
So they wanted to see that continue.
So they
want to
keep it going.
So, like the Reinhardt family, Paul Reinhardt, who actually lives in, I believe, North Carolina now.
Yeah.
Jerry, you know, they kind of got things together and took care of a window. And Matt and Deb Follenkamp, of course, they're still in the parish. They're, I think, grandparents or great grandparents. They stepped forward, and it's like what you touched on earlier. Matt told me, he said, we're not doing this for us. He said, one day our grandkids or great grandkids are going to see that we did this, and they're going to say, hey, if they could do it, we can do it. So it just, you know, it kind of sets the tone that, you know. And we've had donations. We don't see the donations unless, you know, they tell us. But we've had some donations from out of the parish and, you know, excuse me. So it's not just those 107 families, but it's the fingers, it's the roots that go out from those families.
Well, plus, you know, when you talk about the fundraisers that you have, those are the tickets, you know, get sold all over Mercer and Dark County and stuff. And we'll be back right after this message to talk about a fundraiser that you've got coming up. You've got a gun raffle, I think, that's coming up. So we'll be back to talk about that right after this.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Running late? Can't decide what to make for supper? Just don't have time to make supper? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them get your meal ready for you. Everybody can get what they want. Subs, great sandwiches, all kinds of deep-fried goodies, plus their famous wings and pizza. Be sure to stop by on Friday for their pizza and wing lunch buffet. And don't forget to make your reservations for your kid's birthday party or any other occasion. So whether it's getting your supper ready tonight or reserving your lanes for a party, let Corey and Jared take the hurry and stress out of your day. Just call them at 375-4274.
Are you a student that's getting serious about the future? Then I suggest you go to the College Credit Options Meeting for students interested in taking college classes while in high school. This Monday, February 12th, 2018, at 7 o'clock p.m. in the high school community room. It is mandatory for one parent to attend this meeting with their student if they intend to participate in AllSec CC Plus program next year. Yes, Monday, February 12th, 2018, 7 o'clock p.m. in the high school community room.
Fort Recovery Drama Club proudly presents the Addams Family Musical. This musical will be presented on Saturday, February 24th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, February 25th at 2 p.m. Both times will be held at the Fort Recovery Elementary Auditoria. Tickets will be $8 at the door. So come laugh with us on Saturday, February 24th and Sunday, February 25th and watch the Fort Recovery Drama Club present the Addams Family Musical.
What was that? What was the whole Addams Family thing?
If you'd been listening to it, you'd have understood.
The play.
Yeah, no. Whatever, the musical, I think it is, Addams Family. Yep.
Yep. Well, cool. I was busy talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of listening.
I know. Well,
that's his job.
His job is to listen. Ask a question, a 10-second question, and listen for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, we don't follow many rules.
No. So, let's talk about your latest fundraiser, which is a gun raffle, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So what's the scoop? Fill me in.
Well, Gary, you're more...
You gonna let me talk again?
Yes, you will. Yeah, that's fine.
It's just very simple. It's like all the other gun raffles around here. We've got 11 guns on the raffle. There's we limit the tickets sold to 500, which they sell out in a few weeks. And they're always looking for more. We might up that next year. But it's 11 guns, $20 a ticket. Only 500 tickets sold, as I said. And then we have the drawing on April 8th, which is the Sunday after Easter. The one thing we've done this year is we're going to have the drawing at Sandrill Hall. And there's going to be refreshments, and there's going to be some types of fundraisers, raffles. And I know there's going to be a Ruger American 243 that's going to be up for grabs. We'll sell a deck of cards or something on that. And it's just play cards, have a good time, and yep. BS, tell hunting stories, and so forth. So anybody that wants to come out, starts 1:30 on Sunday afternoon, April 8th.
And that's not just for the people that have bought tickets. This is a whole separate thing where the drawing will be.
Yeah, just come on out and you know, brought tickets, come on out. You win a gun, you can, you know, and if you don't win a gun, there'll be other chances there to do so. So, yeah, it's just kind of another little, you know, if we break even or make a little money, it's more of a, you know, a social event.
Yep.
Just to kind of celebrate things. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. So for an event like that, okay, so you've got 50 tickets at $20 a piece.
500.
You got 500 tickets.
Sorry.
You wouldn't have made much money with your 50.
Okay. Wouldn't have covered the beer.
And they wouldn't have to be on tonight talking about it. They got more than that sold.
So do you have people that donate the guns, or is there any businesses that contribute to that, or is that...
No, it's all run through Todd Hobman's gun shop.
Okay.
And he kind of selects guns and, you know, a certain range of money and popularity, and that's what we go with. As a matter of fact, I see there's a Ruger American 22-250 on here, so there's going to be a Ruger American 243 there at the event. So, yeah, it's all run through Todd Holman, and he takes care of everything.
Oh, that's cool.
As far as, you know, registration and all that.
It really seems like those things sell like hotcakes. You know, like those tickets. So like, you know, where can you get a ticket if you want one?
You can't. I have one in my hand. And this is for Father Ned.
Oh, it is.
He said, make sure I get a ticket. So, Father, I've got your ticket right here in my hand. But, yeah, we what was about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, you couldn't find one.
We distribute them at the meeting, you know. Everybody takes 10, 20, 40, 50 books or whatever, and they're gone. Except for this one right here. Or do we have a couple to
I have one. That's on Facebook we're giving away.
Okay, we have one on Facebook. You can let Brian can talk about that more, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I put one on Facebook. When I, you know, kind of joined into this Friends of St. Joe Church, you know, that, you know, Gary and Mel and all these guys have been doing it for a couple of years now. I went to their last meeting and thinking, well, I'll go in there and try to get the social media aspect put into this and see if I can get some word out that way. And so we started a Facebook page, Friends of St. Joe Church, and we'd like anybody and everyone in the area to like us on Facebook at that page. Right now we're doing a giveaway for the raffle on there. So if you go on there and like our post, we do have one ticket. I guess you can get on there, you know, for free if you win that Facebook giveaway. But my whole purpose of starting this page was to put out on social media everything we're doing at the church currently and what we plan on doing in the future. Because if you haven't been out to the church since they've been redoing these stained glass windows, they're beautiful. It's amazing to see the transformation they made over the last 2 years since we've had them done. And a lot of people don't make it out to the parish for Mass. And so through the social media page over the next, you know, however long it takes, I plan on every week putting posts of pictures of the new windows and explaining, you know, the history behind the window, the family that originally sponsored it, the family that's sponsoring it now, so people can see what's being done and to recognize those people that have donated money. And then go through the other restorations we're doing currently. Also, we've replaced the louvers in the bell tower. We're going to be doing the flooring in the church here soon. Hopefully in the future we'll be doing some improvements to the graveyard. So just to keep in contact with everyone and keep everybody updated on what we're doing, that Facebook page will be a good way for us to advertise all that.
Well, cool. So is there any, and I'm sure there's some, but, you know, like, as far as the St. Joe Parish being part of the Fort Recovery cluster, are there certain restrictions that you guys have due to being part of that cluster, or can you still pretty much run things the way that you always did?
Pretty much the same as it always been.
I mean, the man in charge is actually Father Ned.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to get approval of him for things, and we did get his approval on this. That was like a little bit I skipped there when after we had our meeting of the 10 or 12, Mel and I and Joe Pockcutter invited Father, who else was there? Someone else?
Chad Fowler
was there.
Yeah.
I got a hold of Father Ned and I said, we've got something we'd like to, you know, talked to you about, approached you about, and he came up on, I think, a Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And we were on pins and needles because we didn't, you know, Father Ned had just gotten there, and he,
yeah.
This One Faith, One Hope, One Love campaign, he was really pushing that, and we didn't know how this was going to work out. So he came up on a Thursday afternoon, and we gave him the dog and pony show, and he said, he leaned back in his chair and says, how can this get me in trouble? And he says, you know, it's no different than if somebody threw a baseball through my window and said they're going to fix it for me. He said, I don't see a problem with it. And then he said, I think all three parishes should do this. So, and he gave us our busing, and here we go. Away we went. And
yeah. Matter of fact, that night he was late for confessions. And confessions were at 7 o'clock. And he stopped at the door before he left and spent another 10 minutes talking. And it was after 7 already, so he didn't care.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
As they say, Nipsey Ruby was there at the time waiting for confessions, but I'm not sure if that's true or not.
I thought he took Father's place until he got there. That's the story I got.
So, from what you guys know, have any of the other churches done this?
I know St. Peter has done for sure, and I think St. Paul has, but I'm not sure. I know St. Peter has because Side of Fever directed him to me for some insights.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure St. Paul's done it.
Yep.
So,
well, good. Good. Well, it's so. So as you think about, okay, so you hopefully the massive window project is close to being in the rearview mirror. What's next?
Well, we got a couple other projects. One is there's a deteriorating wall in the basement of the church, so that's one of the things. Yeah. The sanctuaries in the back are going to be remodeled. They are currently being remodeled. So in the 19th, we're pulling the carpet out and everything, and new flooring is going to be put in, too. So those are the projects that are mainly in work right now.
Yeah. So, we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you, like, when was that church actually built? Because as, like, you talk about these walls, and the windows were put in
1920.
Yeah, and we'll talk about kind of when the church was actually built, and we'll be back right after this.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Is Spider-Man there?
I don't know where you can find Spider-Man.
What about Superman?
I don't know where Superman, Spider-Man, or any other superhero friends are.
Don't you always have something for everyone?
We do, with insurance plans from Ohio Mutual for your home, auto, farm, or business, and more. And we always offer super prices for your coverage.
Super prices? I never heard of that, superhero.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
I remember a time when we didn't have to wear sweaters in the house to keep warm.
That was just a few months ago. It's called summer.
But now, why do we have to wear sweaters indoors?
Because we have a horrible heating system. And why are you talking like an old man? You're only 37.
Oh, I forgot. I'll call Reasoner Energy. They'll uncover any problems and give us solutions. I hear Reasoner Energy has been the go-to heating expert for years and years.
Stop it!
Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Lent season is here. Kicking off Wednesday, February 14th, Wayne Street Market is offering their famous fried fish. The entire Lent season, Wayne's Hot Deli will be serving fried fish for lunch and dinner on Fridays. Grab a 2 or 3 piece dinner with a choice of 2 sides in a dinner roll, or if you're feeding the whole family, order by the pound. Please call ahead to secure your order. Our fish is tasty and it will sell out. Thanks for choosing Wayne Street Market for your Lent season Friday fish meals.
The girls' basketball tournament draw took place on Sunday, February 4th. The Lady Indians were voted the second seed in our sectional tournament and will play the 4-12 Ada Bulldogs on Saturday evening, February 24th at 8 p.m. at Allen East High School. Again, the Lady Indians are a number 2 seed in the tournament and will play Ada at Allen East on Saturday, February 24th at 8 p.m. Here are the Fort Recovery sports coming up this week. Tomorrow, the girls travel to Coldwater. The varsity game can be heard on WPGW Radio or use your TuneIn app and search for WPGW. On Friday, the boys will host the Cavaliers, and the traveling tribe will have their German supper before the game. The varsity game can be heard on WCSM radio or use your TuneIn app and search for WCSM. On Saturday, the girls will travel to New Madison to take on the always tough Tri-Village Patriots. Fort Recovery Radio will bring you the JV game at noon and simulcast the varsity game with WPGW. Then on Saturday night, the boys will host the Springfield Northwestern Warriors. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast both the JV and varsity games. Girls at Coldwater tomorrow night. Boys host Coldwater on Friday and the Traveling Tribes German Supper before the game. Saturday, girls at noon at Tri-Village. Then the boys host Springfield Northwestern on Saturday night. Get to all these games this week to support our Indians teams. They appreciate your support.
We're back. Springfield Northwestern.
Yes.
Where's that at?
It's northwest of Springfield.
Well, I'll be damned.
Any more questions?
Who'd have thunk it?
That's my best information. We don't care because we're not going there. They're coming here. On most people's schedules, their pocket schedules, it'll still say Triad, but they, if anybody went to the Triad game last year, it's about an hour and 45-minute trip. It's on the other, it's south and east of Bell Fountain and so, way out around curvy roads and up and down hills and five different state routes to get there. And I think once they figured that out, they decided, I don't think we want to do the home and home thing with you.
Well, that ain't very nice of them.
Well, I mean, we also beat them pretty badly, so I don't, right. They wouldn't want to drive an hour and 45 minutes
have their lunch handed.
I don't remember the varsity game. I think they were pretty competitive varsity, but the JV was like 50-5 or something like that. It was crazy. It was bad. They couldn't make anything.
We let them score five.
Well,
you know, you have to look at that.
I think they had plenty of shots. They just wouldn't go in, and I think they just decided that that's not a good thing for them, and that's okay. You know,
I'm looking forward to the trip to Northwestern Springfield.
Next year, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably not going to happen, but
that's a made right trip.
Well, and also you can go to Springfield and go to what was that sandwich place? Mike and somebody's that when we played baseball there. There's in Springfield back in the couple of years ago. It's a really neat sub sort of shop, and it's been there for years. Mike and Rosie's, I believe, is the name of it.
Speaking of,
could tell us what it is, but it's really good, and that's worth the trip too.
Speaking of back in the day,
mm-hmm.
So how old is St. Joe Church?
How old is St. Joe Church?
That's a great segue. Right?
That was
smooth.
That was very good.
Caught me off guard.
you're thinking about another sandwich shop, aren't you?
Well, I was thinking something else, but yeah. I was thinking probably a Springfield Northwestern fan will call in with the name of that sandwich shop.
That's right.
About.
Yeah, it's in Springfield. I believe it's Mike and Rosie's.
Surprise, the phone isn't ringing yet.
Well, Digger Don knows it, and several other people know it because there's a bunch of people there.
So how old is the church? Well, the first church was built in 1839, and it was a log cabin church. And then in 1861, the present church was built.
1861.
Do the math.
It's 157 years old.
It's good math.
It's good. It's good math.
I've got a math teacher here. I'll defer to him.
I teach in Indiana, so that don't count for a whole lot.
Hey.
Bada bing.
So guess whose car's getting soap and tires slashed.
So you know, just think about the upkeep on something that is that's that old, you know. And anytime you're dealing with something that is that old, when you look at the stained glass windows and the pews and the steeple, I mean, you know, it isn't like you're fixing aluminum siding,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible.
It all needs to be sealed. Matter of fact, they say after where the school used to be, there was an indention where they dug the clay out to make the bricks. So they made them there on site. That's amazing. Isn't that cool? Getting enough people together to make the bricks to put the church up.
And that happened with a lot of houses and businesses. A lot of brick buildings in this area were dug, especially out in the country, but were done that same way. And there was my understanding is down where Ambassador Park is now or in that area, there was also a brick factory there where they did that for people who didn't have the land where they could dig up the clay and do that. So there's somebody, maybe several somebodies that had portable kilns. I guess it's kilns. I guess that's probably the term, but that they used then. But that just went around and did that.
Yeah. And I didn't even know guys wore kilts back then.
Okay, they did, but not here.
Okay. Now there was some Irish settlers to begin with out that way, so you never know. They forced them out. I think the Germans forced them out.
That's just the German blood, you know. Oh, yeah. They force everybody out.
Yeah, no Irish.
So, Gary, I think you've got more facts there that you'd like to share.
If you know, you're talking about continued maintenance on the church. It was built in, like I said, in 1861. Wasn't much done until 1886, and then some stained glass windows were installed, not the larger ones. In 1889, they purchased the pipe organ, which we still have today, by the way.
No kidding.
Very, very few of those around anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to find anybody that can
play a pipe.
That can maintain it or play it.
There's a company out of Cincinnati that comes every 6 months and tunes our organ.
Does a little maintenance and stuff. That's probably very good preventive stuff. Yeah. And they can intercept anything that's going to end up being a major problem. And that's good.
Yeah, and I think if anybody tried to talk about putting an electronic organ and taking our pipe organ out, they'd have a battle on their hands. A royal battle.
Does somebody always please remember to learn how to play that? Just keep that going.
Yeah. So, and then in 1902, they added the tower, and an entrance was built on the church. So, as a church you see it today, didn't have the tower or that entrance when it was originally built. So that
really
in 1902, really, and so that's a pretty major project.
I think I knew a lot of the churches added the entrances, but I didn't realize that the tower and the steeple.
Well, it says a new tower, so new tower.
Well, there might have been maybe a smaller one, but maybe not.
I don't know. And then
that's great.
And 1906, the rectory, the priest house was built, which is gone now. So that was built in 1906. In 1911, a steam heating system was installed to heat both the church and the rectory. In 1919, the sacristy and sanctuary were enlarged and remodeled. So that's another addition to the church. And this is the one that I've been trying to find out. It says a new abstone floor was laid. And we know that floor is hard. And I'm not very good on the computer, but I was doing a little searching on the internet today, and I couldn't find out exactly what abstone is. But there was a lot of jewelry things, I guess, made out of abstone.
Really?
But I'm really curious about that. And then they added a basement, and the whole interior of the church was done over. In 1920, the pews were redone, and they put in the 8 present day stained glass windows, the large ones. Then there wasn't much done with the Great Recession and so forth. And then there were some things done that smaller. I just went through this book, the St. Joseph's Parish History from 1839 to 2014, and took out the major things. 1968, the whole interior of the church was repainted, new lighting installed, and the statues were repainted. And then in 1975, a garage was added to the rectory. In 1999, the entire church was restored. And that was a major, major project, because if you're a Catholic, you can remember back in the day when they wanted to take out the statues and make it plain and all that.
Well, they drop ceilings in, cover up the beautiful artwork in the ceilings. Yeah, that was, I think that was part of Vatican II, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
And, it was my understanding, it was a mission to modernize the church.
Yeah.
And in modernizing the church, they also wanted to modernize the buildings.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to modernize the church. It's one thing to modernize the buildings, but that was their thing. And that's, you know, I'm sure they had great intentions, but the people around here didn't love that.
Yeah. Well, during that process, we managed to keep all our statues. There were a lot of the paintings that got covered up. So in 99, we had a company come in, and they completely restored it back to this original, or back to what it was before that. The paintings were still there under the paint. They were able to dissolve the paint. And like, if you go in St. Joe, there's a big painting on the ceiling.
The ceiling, yeah.
And at one time, the ceiling, the plaster was pretty bad. Then the church has what they call a barrel ceiling, where the sidewalls go up and they curve instead of going up square. And we had taken paneling and covered the ceiling, and then put like knee braces down to cover that barrel, and then like fake beams. And I think that was done in like 89 or something like that. So, 87, yeah. I believe. And that painting was on canvas and nailed right through it. Left it there. Nailed right through it, and this, I can't trying to remember his name, but that did the restoration. Did
he was, he, as a matter of fact, it was one of his first jobs he ever did was St.
Right,
Joe.
He had an office in St. Henry. Yeah. Yeah.
And after that, he's been all over the place.
Yeah, but he was able to take that canvas down, take it back to his shop in St. Henry. It had lead paint, and he would heat it. He put it on a huge heat table and heated it up to where that paint became solvent again. And he was able to repair all the damage to that and put it back up.
Wow.
So it was amazing.
Yeah.
And the most amazing part was he didn't charge us anything for it. He did that as an add-on to the project.
Wow.
So, it seems to me the price was around $40,000 for him to do all that work in that neighborhood, at least. And that was repainting the statues, repainting everything, doing everything in that church, bringing it back to where it was before. And now, I don't know what it would cost you, but I'm sure.
I think that was a $90,000 project at that time.
Okay.
The whole church restoration.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break, come back, and kind of wrap things up. I do know that you talked about, you also have an auction this summer, is that right?
No, we had one, but we're not.
Oh, okay.
That was a one-time deal.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back to talk about a little bit more about the Friends of St. Joe Church right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you planning a building project? Let B&D Contracting help you with your plans. Get together with Dave Kalp and discuss your plans and construction schedule. B&D Contracting also does remodeling and can build your commercial, agricultural, or steel building in addition to their custom-built homes. Call Dave today at 419-234-2976 and schedule your construction project. B&D Contracting is a proud athletic supporter.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
The Village of Fort Recovery has several openings for seasonal positions this summer, and they're open to people of all ages. You can go to fortrecovery.org or stop by the Village Hall to pick up an application form, fill it out, and return it to the Village Hall by Friday, February 9th. The seasonal job openings they have are pool manager, assistant pool manager, lifeguards, park maintenance, and cleaning and landscape maintenance. If you're interested in one of these seasonal jobs working for the village, pick up your application at the Village Hall or go to fortrecovery.org and print out the application form. Then take your application to the Village Hall by Friday, February 9th. The Village of Fort Recovery is an equal opportunity employer. Presale tickets for Friday's Boys Home basketball game with Coldwater and Saturday's Boys Home game with Springfield Northwestern will be sold tomorrow from 7:45 a.m. to 10 a.m. in the middle school office, then from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the high school office. On Friday, tickets will be sold from 7:45 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the high school office. Get your tickets ahead of time and save yourself some time and money. Presale tickets are $4 for students and $6 for adults. All tickets at the door will be $7.
Welcome back to Insight. We're talking with people from St. Joe and
Jack.
And Jack. And okay. I forgot about you. I tried to, but you wouldn't let me. I want to remind everybody about the, invite everybody to go to our Facebook page and check out the letter from the Fort Recovery School Administration. Basically, to kind of sum it up, the statement kind of says it all. It's also our intention to work with the MAC to try to get Fort Recovery Radio back on the air sooner rather than later. So we encourage you to go read that letter, very nice letter from the administration, and they're working with us to try to get things rectified with the league so we can get the league games back on the air for you. So back to Jack with the St. Joe people.
Since the tournament isn't necessarily a MAC event, would you be allowed to do the tournament games?
Don't know. Haven't asked that question. We're not going to, our guys aren't going to broadcast. If we do, we will be simulcasting okay. WPGW. We usually do that. Our fans are looking for good Homer announcers, and Rob Weaver does a very good job of being a Fort Recovery supporter. So almost any game that he is doing, especially him specifically, and occasionally Jeff Overholzer does some, but any game that he does specifically, we will almost always simulcast him because our fans like the Homer announcer, and Rob is very good at the Wheeze and us and all of that, and he knows our teams very well, and everybody, and it's hard not to like Rob Weaver.
Yeah, that's true.
He likes us, and we like him.
So as we wrap things up, let's make sure we touch base on some of the key points here. One is there's a gun raffle that you don't need to sell any tickets to because they're all sold out.
Apparently.
But that raffle is April 8th.
Correct.
It is at 1:30 at Sandrill Hall.
Yes, sir.
And the public is invited to come and play cards and to buy some chances to win some other stuff. And so that's an open invitation.
And so it's kind of like a mini spring St. Joe Festival.
Well, I doubt if it's that big.
No, not quite that big, but everybody likes to go visit the St. Joe people. That's one of their favorite things.
Mm-hmm. And then, Ryan, you had mentioned kind of the new Facebook page. Why don't you touch on that again?
Yeah, we invite everybody to like our page on Facebook, Friends of St. Joe Church. If you search that, you'll find our page. We started that just to be in touch with the community, let them know what restorations we're making, give them a chance to see the restorations. We'll be posting all the pictures of the new restorations that have been made since the last windows are finishing up today. We'll have all of the different windows with stories behind them posted. We've done the louvers in the bell tower. We'll be able to post those. And then in the future, we're doing the flooring here soon, so we'll have pictures for that. The sacristies are being repaired, so we'll have pictures of that. Hopefully in the next year or two, we'll be working on a graveyard. So it'll just be a way to keep everybody in touch with everything we're doing. If you can't make it out to Mass at 7:30 in the morning on Sundays at St. Joe, you'll have the opportunity to see everything we're doing. And then just, let them know what we're doing as the Friends of St. Joe. Where's the money going? We appreciate your donations. The gathering we're having, we can advertise that, the festival in September. Just a way to keep in touch with everyone, and so we definitely invite you to like that page on Facebook.
The whole social media thing is such a tool for organizations to use that, it's great that you're being a part of this and adding that
aspect.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. The letters that Gary types up are great. You know, he sends them out to all the families in the church, and that's a great way to connect. And this is a way, another way to connect to those families that may not get those letters, you know, to those that may not belong to St. Joe and don't get an opportunity to see that letter. And I'll be posting that letter he's sending out next week right there on the Facebook page.
Well, and the stuff that you do is free. You know, there's no mailing charges, none of that. And you can touch a boatload of people like that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and you're catching the people that are off at college and the people that, you know, may live in Columbus or wherever else that are very interested in what's going on back here.
And Gary, you also wanted to bring up a couple of changes in the schedule out at St. Joe while you're redoing some floors.
Yes, we'll be starting Monday, February 19th at 6 o'clock that evening. We're going to start tearing up the old carpet, taking out the pews and getting ready for new carpeting and solid surfacing in the sanctuary. So we will not have Mass on February 25th at St. Joe. That Mass is moved to St. Peter at 7:30, I believe. You have to check your bulletin. But we should be back open March 4th, so just one Sunday, 2-week period in there to get the floor covering done. We'll be closed on the 25th. One thing I would like to mention, we talked a lot about money and the church itself tonight, and we're a very spiritual community also. I mean, nothing else has lacked. The Sunday offerings that are still there, the special collections, they're still there. Those funds, you know, that money is still there. So, and I just like to just touch on the mission of the St. Joe Church, Friends of St. Joe Church. It's the intent of this committee is to be a private organization to work in cooperation with the parish council on a common goal to fund renovation, maintenance, and upkeep projects of the St. Joe Church and its facilities in its present needs and to provide an avenue of support for the funding of these needs into the future. So our fund is an ongoing fund. We have to keep a $10,000 balance, and we share in the profits of the Fort Recovery Community Foundation. So this isn't a goal-oriented fund. This is to go on for perpetuity. When I'm gone, the next generation and so forth. So the goal is to keep this going so that we can keep the church and the grounds in good condition. And, you know, when you've got your church in good condition, it helps your spiritual life also. And I think we have a very spiritual family at St. Joe.
But, you know, and the other aspect of that is that, you know, you can go to church any place and you can pray from the comfort of your own home. But to get the community aspect of what a church means to a group, you need that building and you need that community aspect that brings people together. And what you guys have done and what you guys will continue to do is provide that foundation to keep that St. Joe community together so that your kids and your grandkids all get to enjoy the very same stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, before we close, I just wanted to touch on a couple of amazing things that we learned tonight. Okay.
It's one of the stupid cloud thing. I'm very sorry. I degraded your wisdom. Go ahead.
But you guys have got to admit.
He's just jealous. That's all.
Yeah. I'm not a Snapple drinker. I'm sorry.
The other thing that to me is amazing is that I graduated in 1974.
That is amazing that you graduated.
So it is. So in 1972,
can remember it.
So in 1972, I was a sophomore. 71, I was a freshman, and to think that Mel Burkey is like on a church thing, okay? And then
who would imagine?
And not in prison.
And then John Wolf was the mayor of Fort Recovery, and I used to have to like climb in side windows to avoid these guys, you know, in the hallway.
You know, I'm thinking, we're just trying to connect.
neck. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah, you turn your class rings around. You hit guys on top of their heads. But
the guys, I'm not sure about that. You're making that up.
I'm making that up. But guys, I tell you what. And the really cool thing about being in this seat is that I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people who simply want to make, whether it's Fort Recovery or St. Joe or their church or their school, they just want to make things better for their families and their friends and stuff. And we have the opportunity to talk to guys like you who, I'm sure what you guys are doing aren't the highest paid jobs in the world right now. Okay. And to talk to people each week that just give because it's the right thing to do. And my hats are off to you guys. St. Joe comes with a lot of neat memories for me. You know, I was a friend of Paul Eifert's out there, Father Ben, when I, served Mass, would always tell me that I sang like a bird, and
was crow. That good?
No.
It was either crow or a turkey buzzard, but sang like a bird.
And I tell you what, I remember having to tell Father Ben that Paul had lumbago whenever he missed religion. Paul would send me in and say, tell Father that I've got lumbago. And I'd go in. Paul would drop me off and he'd go, oh, sorry. But I tell you what, it is a neat place with special families, and what you guys are doing is absolutely cool beyond words. So thanks for coming up and joining me tonight.
Well, thank you for having us. We really appreciate this, Jack.
Yeah, Jack. It's
great. It means a lot to us.
Yeah. So
cheese ain't bad either.
Right?
Compliments of Wayne Street Market.
That's right.
Really? That's great. Yeah.
It's pretty good people. Yeah.
So, Neil, is there anything we haven't covered?
No. I think we've got everything. Sports talk coming up in a few moments.
Guys, you good?
We're good.
All right. For Jack Stogler, Gary Steinbrenner, Ryan Steinbrenner, Mel Bertke, this is Insight. Stay tuned for Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee. We'll be back next Wednesday. Goodbye.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.